Welcome to another edition of ECAC Hockey Decision Makers. I'm in Dublin, Ireland. Matt Murley is in Troy, New York. It's amazing, Matt, what modern technology can do. It must have been created by a guy from RPI.
I don't know about that. I do know we created the Ferris wheel. I do tell people about that all the time as RPI alums. But yeah, I know how you feel because my wife's from Sweden and I've been living in Sweden the last 4 years and been able to do all these podcasting and interviews from there. So yeah, it's really something amazing for us.
It really is. And I know you're very good friends with Eric Lang, the new coach at RPI. They're trying to turn it around there, go back to the glory days. How's it going? How do you think things are progressing at RPI right now?
Yeah, I'm really excited. We had some really down years, and I don't want to open up old wounds, but I don't know, it was 7 or 8 years ago, and we really wanted to get Benny Barr here. He's an alumni. He's one of my best friends, and we missed out on him. He's up at Maine now. So when the time came for another coach, we all wanted Eric Lang, and we were lucky enough that he came here. And, you know, we have a brand new president here, President Schmidt, and he brought in a new AD, Dr. Bowers. So they really starting to turn this thing around, and they got the right guy. They got the guy all the alumni wanted, all the local people wanted, everybody in the hockey community. I was getting texts and emails from all sorts of people around the world, like, you guys better get Eric Lang. You better get Eric Lang. So the school took care of it and got him here. So we're excited.
You know, it's kind of cool. Back in the day when I had just been released as a player by the New Jersey Devils, I actually got a call from Mike Edessa, the late Mike Edessa. He said, hey, I got a hockey school in Troy, New York. Would you come up and work at it? Well, RPI is coming off a national championship team. And I go up there and I'm hanging with Adam Oates and Mike Satterpour and Mike Dark and Darren Poopa and Mike Joplin, John Carter. It's an endless list of murderer's row of players. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were maybe in that hockey school, Matt, at that time.
I was 100% in that hockey school. I went to that 4 or 5 years. And then I don't know if you were part of it then, but at night they would have a league too. He had a summer league, a Mike Edessa summer hockey league. So I would do the camp in the morning and then we would play games at night. And I actually found some old pictures I brought out for Saggy. There's a picture of me with him as a young kid. And now we're really good friends as we've trying to revamp the program. And then as alumni, we're doing our best we can. And we kind of came up with a new thing last year, where it's called the Red Jacket Club. So distinguished alumni are going to get a jacket, almost like the Masters gets the green jacket. We're going to do the red jacket. And, you know, it started with four of us. Neil Little was part of it, Xavier Magic, and Saggy. And, you know, we just started thinking we need something to honor the alumni and to make the current players want to stay on and be alumni and be part of something special. And we're doing our part. We're having a great time with it. We'll get four new guys come in this year. We'll be honored in. And it's, you know, it's a big process. We have applications and everything. So it's something exciting for the alumni, and we're trying our best to help RPI.
Well, good on you. I think that's fantastic, Matt. You know, I was part of that up at St. Lawrence with the Legends of Appleton. They just inducted two great hockey people from St. Lawrence, one of them being the former general manager, you know, of the Pittsburgh Penguins, the late Ray Sherrill. You know, it's funny because I track all these different players, as I know you're aware of. The thing that stands out to me about you, and it's a compliment, you were there when it all started for a guy that wore 87 and still does wear 87 in Pittsburgh. What was it like? You guys basically broke in right around the same time with the Pittsburgh Penguins. What was it like to see an 18-year-old Sidney Crosby?
Yeah, I remember when we won the lottery. What I like to tell people is that I'm the reason we had Crosby, because I was on the team before the lockout. We were so bad. I was so bad personally that we ended up in second to last place, but then we won the lottery that got us Sidney Crosby. So when the lockout ended and we were all in Pittsburgh, it was his rookie year. I ended up getting being roommates with him because I was kind of in that middle ground where I was a young guy, like in the organization, but I was older because I did the 4 years at RPI. So I was probably a little more mature than the other second, third year guys that coming from Western League or whatever, like Colby Armstrong, my good buddy now. So they put me with him for a while. And it was amazing because I was like skeptical, 18 years old, like because you saw other guys do it. Thornton came in at 18. He couldn't really do much. My best friend, Tim Conley, came in at 18. He didn't do really a lot either his first year. So how good can this kid be? It was the first ice session, 7 a.m. in the old igloo, and you saw it was something different. He's splitting defensemen. He's holding onto the puck in the corner against 6'6 defensemen and not falling down. It was wild to see.
I had an 18-year-old in Pittsburgh who was pretty good, Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, I guess he was pretty good.
Pretty good, too.
He's but still I know playing.
He is still playing. It's the best job ever, Matt. He's the owner, the president, the GM, and the player coach. It's a heck of a job if you can get it. And he's done so many good things for the town that he's from, obviously, in Kladno in the Czech Republic. You know, this proud hockey tradition of RPI, I don't want to stray from that too long and talk about the NHL. I want to talk about RPI because you're a great story. You're a local kid who went to the hockey school, who knew about the national championship team at RPI in 85 with all those great players. You befriended a lot of those players and you left and then you came back. Why?
Yeah, so I like to say my dad was the original crazy hockey parent. He had me traveling out to Syracuse since my second year in squirts. So I think that's what, 9 or 10 years old. And it all started, I was just playing for the local Troy team and mites and first year squirts. And every time we went to these tournaments, we would end up playing the Syracuse Stars in the finals. And they would beat us sometimes. We would beat them. It was going back and forth. And they were starting this spring hockey, which you never heard of back then. They go, oh, we're doing this spring hockey. We're going to go to 4 tournaments up in Canada. We would love for you guys to come. So they invited 3 or 4 of us from Troy to go play with them. So we did it for those 4 weekends. It was awesome. We had so much fun with them. We're going to Canada. We're getting killed by these teams too. And we went back, we played our Troy season and we do the spring hockey again. And this time we do 6 tournaments and we are doing 1 practice a week. And it was an hour and a half drive to the practice where they had the summer rink. And we had the time of our lives. I think my dad and Tim Conley's dad, Mike Conley, became best friends. And I don't know, it might've been over a few cocktails. And he's like, I think Mr. Conley's like, well, why doesn't Maddie just play the whole season with us? You guys, you know, you drive 2.5 hours to the practice. You'll come every Tuesday to the practice. You don't have to come Thursday. And then we'll go wherever the weekend was. And my dad went for it. We had a coach, Don Kernan, who helped develop all the players in upstate New York.
I think the Tredowitz brothers, right? Were 2 of those guys that I believe. Yeah,
they were probably the first players that were even like college players.
They both went to Clarkson, so everybody understands. They're ECAC guys.
Yeah. And now if you look at upstate New York, there's NHLers everywhere. There's Hall of Famers. So
Eric Cole would be right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I had him, believe it or not. Brian Gianta. We had Dustin Brown. Of course, Timmy. Joel Farabee that played last night. I saw him playing a game last night. So a lot of Syracuse stars. Colby Cohen, good friend of ours. And so he built the Syracuse Stars program. So my dad knew I needed to go to that coach for some reason. So we drove 2.5 hours to practice, 2.5 hours back. And then the weekends were there. Home weekends were in Syracuse. Away weekends were Ottawa, Toronto, Michigan. So yeah, we were crazy. But to go back to your question, my last 2 years of high school, I lived in Syracuse as well. So I was always away. I really wasn't from Troy. I was never here. I never went to school on a Friday. I was always gone. So coming back to Troy was a way to reward my parents for doing all that travel for me, letting me go chase my dreams out there. And it wasn't like being at home, like going to college at home, because I'd been away so much.
One of the cool parts about RPI, I've coached in 2 of them, won both, by the way, and watched my son play in another one, the Big Red Freakout at RPI. It's a legendary night. One once when I was at Babson, one once when I was at St. Lawrence, and I watched my son at Colgate win at RPI. I think it's one of the most fascinating nights in the college hockey schedule. You played in 4 of them, I believe. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be part of Big Red Freakout?
Well, you must be the kryptonite because I don't think we've lost very many of them. When I was there, I think we had won 19 straight or something crazy like that. But another funny story is my mom loves to tell. I actually fell asleep during a Big Red Freakout somehow.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable!
That's back when you could hand out the big red horns and the cowbells, which the NCAA had to make a rule that you're not allowed to give away noisemakers to games anymore because of the Big Red freakout. But yeah, that's always the best time of year. We do our alumni game that morning now, and that's our alumni weekend. So we get all the guys back. And my favorite one was my senior year. I'll never forget it. I know it's like a family show, but we had the Big Red drink out after it every game. All right. The players would set that up. So I had the hockey house my senior year. So I went, I got enough beer for everybody. And I had the Jello shots for everybody. And all of a sudden it's 12 minutes left. We're down 4-1 and we're shorthanded. And I'm like, I'm sitting on a bench like, oh man, that's a waste of booze. Like, what are we going to do with all this? This party's going to stink. And Mark Cavosi went out. We went out shorthanded. He scores shorthanded. It's 4-2.
Wow.
Get the penalties over. He goes out again. He makes it 4-3. Minute left in the game. We pull the goalie. Mark sets somebody else up. We tie the game 4-4, go into overtime. We win it in overtime. Carson Butterwick. We went nuts. I don't even remember taking my equipment off. We were all so excited and ran to that house. We had the best night. The pep band was in my house. The parents, all our parents are trying to show up. You couldn't even get in the house. It was the greatest night. It's one of my favorite memories of RPI. And it's just something special. That Big Red freakout, you don't lose that. So it's funny to hear you've actually got a couple on us.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's one of the most memorable nights in the college hockey schedule. I really do. When I'm not there, I try to watch it on television. I think it's great. And I love what the band does after the games. I just think those kids are nuts. They're going to get hurt when they go running into the wall. Like, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. And I work with Chicklets now, and our guy, Mike Granelli, he does all these Chicklets universities where he goes around and he sees these locker rooms and stuff and all the new toys these Michigans and Michigan States have. And I've been telling him for 3 years now, I'm like, you got to come to RPI and do a whole series, like a whole show on the Big Red freakout from the morning all the way through to the end. It's something different. There's no other game like it in college hockey or any sports. Right. It's almost a European game, that game where everyone's in red. Everybody's cheering the whole time. It's awesome.
You know what? I'm really glad you brought that up, because you know what it reminded me of? The first time I'd spent a lot of time, obviously, in Sweden, you go to a game in Djurgården. And you listen to the crowd sing song in the whole game, and you're like, that's kind of like the Big Red freakout is. It's really cool. I love that. I love that, Matt. One of my favorite places during the ECAC schedule when I was involved as a coach and as a parent of a player that played in the league was going to the Knotty Pine in Troy, New York. It's not there anymore, but I remember clear as day going to have pizza with Adam Oates there, or Mike Satapour there, or Johnny Carter there. Is there another version of the Knotty Pine in Troy?
Yeah, so that's funny you bring that up. My mom's side of the family, the Connell family, basically built that place and kept it in business all those years. My grandfather had the table reserved before every game I played and after every game, so there would be a huge party before and after every game there. And they kind of got out of the business. They sold the classic one that you know that's on the corner right near campus. They got bought. Yeah. They sold that. And then after a couple of years, the two brothers, the Zotto brothers, missed it so much that they opened up a new spot. So now it's just up the road, up Route 7, probably about 6-7 minutes from campus. And it's a brand new place, great bar, good TVs. So we hit that usually every Friday night now that we're home. And it's still the great pizza. Small square slices, nothing better.
Hey, how big is the thing between Union and RPI getting right now, especially with Union getting the new rink?
Yeah, so that it's crazy what they've done over there. And it's funny, ECAC, you've got to talk about Doug Christensen, the commissioner of the league. I played against him at Union there. Right. And that's just when they kind of had just become D1 and they were just finding their way. And we would, I mean, back then, even though they would maybe be lower in the standings, they would either beat us or give us a really tough game every single time. And that's kind of where it all started. And then I go back, Benny Barr was the assistant coach there. He recruited all those kids that they won the national title with Nate Lehman, and they had left, and it was, you know, Rick Bennett ended up winning the title, but it was Lehman, Bennett, and Benny Barr that built that team. And now they're kind of just there. They're always good. They're always strong. New coach is great. And I haven't been over to the arena yet for a game. I've been there to walk through. Dave Baglio, the equipment manager, is an old friend of mine. So he's shown me all the ins and outs of the rink. And it's great for RPI because now we have a good rival. And what what's really good for RPI is that they're good. So teams come here, they're not getting a cakewalk the first night. So when I played, sometimes, you know, Cornell would come down here, they'd get an easy game on Friday night against Union, and then they'd come in ready to beat us on Saturday. So now you're coming in, Union's playing them really tough, probably better than us right now, I got to admit that. And so as we get this thing revamped at RPI, these teams are going to have to come here and have two really tough games.
RPI is in a really cool geographic location because you can get kids out of Ottawa, you can get kids out of Quebec, you can get kids out of Massachusetts. Connecticut's become a hot spot for players. Where do you think the focus is for Coach Lang and the group there at RPI right now?
Yeah, I don't have the privy to all that information yet. But I did listen to him on your show earlier, and I know he was talking about the recruiting budget and how he likes to do the one night hits up to Ottawa and stuff like that. So my biggest thing about it, like if I was recruiting is you're in Troy, but you're still in like a big city, you know, it's 400,000 people say around here in the Albany area. So you have everything. And the best part about it for the ECAC is our travel. We are not, our furthest trip is up north to St. Lawrence, 4 hours. We're down to Princeton, 3.5. Colgate, Cornell, a couple hours. So we're right in the middle. So I don't even know what that St. Lawrence to Princeton trip must look like. But I
7 hours. Part of that. Not that hard. 7 hours. You've had worse rides in your career. I can tell you that right now.
But that's what's nice is like we were home every Saturday night. We were home by 1 o'clock at the latest, and bars were open till 4 o'clock here. The frat houses were open all night. So the players out there listening, you'll go play your game Saturday night. You still get your Saturday night out back in Troy.
Matt, I know you're really good friends with Colby Armstrong, somebody that I've known a long time. Ryan Whitney, I believe, is a really good friend of yours. Take us inside your new career and what you're doing in the media side of things.
Yeah, it's crazy how it worked out. I was actually, I was just coaching out in Rochester for a year. I was coaching a Bantam team, a high-level Bantam team out there, and then doing some skills work with the rest of the Rochester organization, just because I just retired. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I was like, oh, I'll go coach and work skills. Maybe I want to do either one of them. And as I was doing it, the hockey parents are crazy. So I was like, oh, I'm not doing youth hockey anymore. Ryan Whitney called me and they needed some work with some like sports gambling, some hockey gambling on the NHL because they had gotten this big advertisement deal with Spit and Chicklets for that. So he asked me to just start writing some blogs and stuff. And one thing led to another. Next thing you know, I'm on their show more frequently. And then that went so well that we wanted to get Colby Armstrong involved. So they let us start our own show. So we have our own show now, Game Notes, where we kind of cover all of hockey. We'll do a little bit of NHL, but we love talking about the juniors. We love talking about the college. I'll talk about the European hockey. And we kind of just do Spit and Chicklets, but in a different way where they're more like NHL based. And you know, we just have a good time. We're just like two buddies talking. We have our chat that we get involved with. They ask us funny stuff. And it's really been a dream job.
I want to ask you about RPI. You talk about the dream job. I think RPI is a dream school for a lot of kids that are really good in math. Do you have to be really good in math to go to RPI, or can you find other subjects and get you through?
Yeah, it's all pretty tough. You know, like they always say, like a lot of the Ivy Leagues, the hardest part is probably getting in, because your grades have to be so good to get in. But once you're in, there's so many things to help you. You have so many resources to help you. You have academic advisors, you've got tutors. So if you are struggling in something, you get your help and you get through. I didn't have any problems. I actually came as for an engineer. I came for civil engineering because my dad was an engineer, but I didn't even know what that entailed. So after a few weeks of the classes, I was like, what is this? And all the other guys were in sports management. So I ended up switching over to business sports management. And to go back, like there's still math. There was still calculus one, calculus two, statistics. So it is tough, but you get through it. And I know our kids, they all have, they're always on the, what is it called? The dean's list. They're always like leading the sports teams and on the dean's list. So yeah, don't be scared by that. And I know what Coach Lang said on your show is that you get that degree, it takes care of you for life.
No, I agree with Coach Lang, and I agree with you as well. They'll always support you as long as you're prepared to put the work in to do it. One of the coolest things about you is, and I obviously track a lot of players, you played in an awesome town called Timrå in Sweden. Jimmy, this is for the young kids out there, because there's pro hockey all over the world. People don't realize that. George McPhee, the president of the Vegas Golden Knights, and I just were in Europe giving a speech to over 100 professional hockey teams from Europe. I don't think people realize how big the sport is over here. But you're in this cool town called Timrå. Hockey is big there. Explain to people how big it really is.
Yeah, I met my wife there. So that's where we were living the last few years. And we'll go back there every summer now. And yeah, it's every kid. Like, the way I explain is every guy you meet has played hockey. And a lot of the girls will have played hockey. It's just, it is a hockey community. Henrik Zetterberg is from there. Elias Pettersson, who's still playing now, is from there. So the goalie from Maine, Albin
Boya.
So he's going to be our next guy that we can refer back to in the NHL that's from that town. So it's really, really a cool place. It's all hockey. It's tough. It's up north. It's dark this time of year. It's dark till 10 a.m. and then it's dark again at 2 p.m. So there's not much else to do but go play hockey. And yeah, for the people listening, European hockey, there's every level. Like, that's the SHL. Yeah, that's really good hockey. That's where you come out of the NHL, you go there. Right before you go to the NHL, you go there. But they have other leagues. They have the Allsvenskan, that's a step under. They have Division One even. So if you're a player, I couldn't suggest it more. I don't care what your skill level is. Find a place in Europe, if it's Czech, Sweden, Swiss, just go play at least a year. Enjoy that life. See the world. You get your breaks. You get like 10 days off three times a year where you're allowed to travel to wherever you want. So it's really something special. And even guys that played their whole career in the NHL, they should go over and play 1 year at least and experience a European life.
There's an ECAC tie-in with Timrå, by the way. Kent Manderville, a great player from Cornell University, played there during the lockout. And I talked to Kent so much about it and his experience over there. But I remember going out there to scout way back when Marcus Naslin and Peter Forsberg were playing in Ørskogvik. So I, yeah, way back when. Matt, I can't thank you enough for doing this. It's been so much fun visiting with you. So happy for you and the career path that you're on and the trajectory. Please say hello to Colby and to Ryan for me, and Bissonnette as well. Say hello to all three of those guys. I know them all pretty well. And you guys are like the little Pittsburgh Penguin Mafia on national radio.
Yeah,
international
it's funny
radio.
How it all worked out, and that we all do have those ties to Wilkes-Barre and Pittsburgh, and it does. It has brought us together. We got an amazing team. Biz is basically the boss of all of us. He keeps us all in line, and is as crazy as that is to say, but he's just amazing what he's done. And we got all these guys behind the scenes that help us, and yeah, just trying to make it better. And I'm going to keep giving my shameless plugs for the ECAC and RPI hockey on all the shows whenever I'm on there.
That's fantastic. So good, Matt. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. You've been watching another edition of ECAC Hockey Decision Makers. I'm Pierre McGuire. Thank you, Matt Murley.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.